This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We just did a bunch of cat talk with Plagans. Give us an official cat talk here, Solana, real quick, because I think we've had our fair share during today's show so far. Cat talk.
Rawr.
Sponsored by Hollywood Kia. Get the star treatment at Hollywood Kia. They are the number one Kia dealer in all of Florida. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia and shop online at HollywoodKia.com. The Leafs have not lost in regulation since March 22nd. Yesterday, Nick Suzuki scored that goal with under 10 seconds to play. Panthers had the puck with 10 seconds. And then at the 8.4-second mark, it was the Suzuki goal that sent it into overtime, and then he scored within like the first 30 seconds of overtime. It was the biggest fluke goal that I think I've seen in a really long time too, which makes it all much more disgusting. I think it was only the third shot that the Canadiens had even taken in that period. Like, the Cats just outplayed them and still ended up losing.
I think Vanacek in the end with like just 18 saves or something. Like, there were very few shots on goal, because we had talked about the saves prop earlier. We got to look at some Marlins props for their 440 start today. Let's do a quick look at the headlines here to start out the 3 o'clock hour. George Sedano is going to join us. We'll talk some NBA with him. Headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. I'm going to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich either during the show or for dinner. I don't mind having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for dinner. It's a delicious dinner.
For lunch, I'm with you, or for breakfast. But for dinner, I don't know. Don't you need,
I can sit down, watch the Heat and the Panthers tonight, have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Just, I just enjoy the hell out of that. I do. I haven't had one in a long time, but since today's PB&J day, I think I may have to do that. Went for dinner last night to Flanagan's.
I saw.
At Potato Skins. That was my dinner, Potato Skins.
So good. So good.
Yeah.
It's an underrated item at Flanagan's, the Potato Skins.
So I used to be against it because I thought they were too thick. Mm-hmm. You know, I usually like the real hollowed out potato skins. And Flanagan's really just cuts a potato in two, essentially.
Yep.
And that's the skin, and they give you, so you're really having two full potatoes in my estimation. But they're good, man. Someone had told me at the bar one night, put the barbecue sauce, it was the bartender. She said, put the barbecue sauce on it, not the sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't get enough of it. It's the potato skins with the Flanny's barbecue sauce. It is so flipping good.
It's funny because when you brought that up, I was confused. I've pretty much only had potato skins at Flanagan's. That's where I get potato skins. And I just always assumed a potato skin, the proper way to do it, or the only way, just dice a potato or slice it in half, put cheese, bacon, whatever you want to put on it, on the top of it, and there's your potato skin. But
that's not typically the skin. The skin is usually just the skin. You hollow the potato out.
Yeah, but then, you know, you're not eating any potato on the inside.
Correct. It's the potato skin that you're eating.
I gotcha.
Well, I don't think you do.
I gotcha. I just don't understand why you'd only want to eat the skin. Like, give me the potato. I want to eat the potato with the skin.
Well, then just order a baked potato.
But no, I like the potato skin. It comes with cheese, melted on top.
So does a baked potato. A loaded baked potato comes with the skin on it, and it comes with cheese and sour cream. I don't think you understand the difference between a baked potato and a potato skin.
I don't think that makes any sense. Like, why would I just want the skin of something?
That's literally the appetizer that's available at all restaurants, potato skins.
Well, Flanagan's perfected it, Hawk, because now I'm eating potato skins with potato and with the cheese. So they perfected it.
I don't think you know what a potato skin is.
I understand what the potato skin is. Speaking of hollowing things out, you ever go to Subway or a sandwich shop and somebody orders a sub and they're like, can you hollow out the bread for me, please? Like, really?
They save carbs.
Oh, okay.
They save carbs. Yeah. People do that with bagels. You ever see people grab bagels and they just kind of finger out all the filling, so it's just the bagel skin, essentially?
Yeah. Okay. You want to save carbs, don't put lettuce and tomato on your sub.
Or get a fruit salad. Hey, listen, if you're so concerned about the carbs, get a plate of fruit.
Yeah. Do you consider an Uncrustable a PB&J sandwich? Is it the same? Because it's sealed?
I do.
All right.
Nothing like an actual PB&J on, like, just mashed up white bread. I'm talking cheap old white bread. Don't give me the Dave's Killer bread. I'm talking about cheapo.
What's the problem?
Whitest.
What's the problem with that Dave's Killer bread?
No, I like Dave's Killer bread. We have it. But it's for certain times, like avocado toast, Dave's Killer bread, fantastic. PB&J, give me American white bread with all the additives and preservatives, like the white bread that stays on the countertop for 7 months, never gets moldy. It puts RFK into shakes. That's the white bread I want.
But then you get picky with your peanut butter. Because I once told you I use Peter Pan peanut butter. And ripped me. What's the problem?
Ridiculous.
So you're going to cheap out on the bread. You're going to go with just like the most disgusting processed white bread.
Because it tastes good.
Like
Jif is the only peanut butter you should be buying. Jif, the only peanut butter. You get the Jif creamy and you get the Smucker's grape jelly.
That's where you draw the line. Peter Pan peanut butter. From CVS.
I mean, honestly, what are you doing? Peter Pan peanut butter.
It's the same crap. It's not. It's the same crap.
You don't know anything. You don't know anything. You don't know what a potato skin is, and you don't know what good peanut butter is.
Okay.
Just telling on yourself all segment long.
The Heat, they play the Celtics tonight at 7:30 p.m. Celtics are big-time favorites. Let me check the latest injury report here. Refresh the page. 2:30 p.m. Has there been any changes yet? Alec Burks is available for the Heat. We knew that.
All right.
No Wiggins or Duncan Robinson, Hawk. And Chris Stapps is still questionable. Al Horford is still doubtful. Jrue Holiday is still questionable. Jaylen Brown still questionable. So no changes as of yet.
All right.
Tonight, Inter Miami, they'll play LAFC, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're playing out on the West Coast. You can watch the game on Fox, I believe. Do I have that right, Jimmy? On Fox tonight.
I believe FS2.
Wow. They got pushed to FS2?
I mean, 11:30 at night, you're not going to preempt Fox Network, are you?
Not Fox Network, but Fox Sports.
Oh, Fox Sports.
Yeah, like FS1, I guess.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know if Messi's going to end up playing in this game. He's definitely available. He's out in L.A., but I don't know if he...
Yeah, you're out in L.A. Lace him up, buddy.
Yeah. I'm with you. The Marlins are going to play in a little over an hour. Final game of their series against the Mets. It'll be the rubber match. They won yesterday. They beat the stinking Mets 4-2. They'll be off tomorrow, begin a weekend series against the Braves.
All right.
You see Carmelo Anthony?
Going to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's being reported by ESPN that Melo was notified that he will be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2025.
Fox Network tonight, 11:30 up in Palm Beach County, Young Sheldon.
Oh, of course.
It's actually on FS1, not FS2.
Okay. All right.
So I was right.
Thank you, Jimmy. Well, you said Fox.
Yeah, Fox Sports.
We didn't say Fox Sports.
I've been watching that show that Young Sheldon is based off of, the original one. What's it called?
The Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang Theory. And no one's
ever seen that.
I used to
great
hate,
show.
I used to like passionately hate that show. I would try not to watch it because I just thought it was
never
super lame. It happens to be kind of funny. There are some funny episodes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's with Doogie Howser.
Yeah, Doogie Howser. Yeah. The hell's Doogie Howser, man?
Who's Doogie Howser? Stop it.
Yeah.
He was on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of. Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris, yeah.
You don't know Doogie Howser?
No.
What?
Doogie?
I gotta stop working with kids. I just gotta stop working with kids.
I know what Doogie Howser is.
Obviously. I'm talking about Solana, not you, Pops.
Jimmy, you're like 62 years old.
Accurate.
What show was Neil Patrick Harris Doogie Howser in?
It was called Doogie Howser. This guy with the potato skins and the Leave It to Beavers and the Doogie Howsers. When are you going to wake up to the world?
Doogie Howser, MD.
So what is it? A show about a kid as a doctor?
Yeah, nailed it.
Never going to make it.
Beep, beep, boop, boop, beep, beep. Beep, beep, boop, boop, beep, beep. Great theme song.
It was great.
Who the hell was watching Doogie Howser? What was that? A sitcom in what, the 80s or something?
Probably 80s or 90s.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
It was the 80s.
Sorry, I'm not. I just looked it up. I'm not keeping up with a sitcom that was around four seasons in 1988, Hawk. So sorry about that.
Yeah, grow up.
Okay. I'll enjoy my Uncrustable tonight. My Peter Pan peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, gum away at it.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866. Oh, rest in peace to Val Kilmer, by the way. That was
I loved Val Kilmer. Yeah. I mean, the original Top Gun, Iceman, it's one of the best movie characters. And then on social media today, you saw Top Gun Maverick, I'm assuming?
I did.
So there was that great scene that Tom Cruise did with Val Kilmer, who was suffering from actual jaw cancer. And I watched it again on social media today, and you get chills. Like, they're saying goodbye. They're creating closure. And he's dealing with, in the movie, what he's dealing with in real life. I just read something on TMZ just a few minutes ago that Val Kilmer hadn't left his bed in several years. That cancer had taken such a toll on him, he was just unable to leave his bed for the last several years. Pneumonia, I believe, is the official cause of death. He was 65 years old, but just a tremendous actor.
He
really
was
enjoyed his roles.
He was Batman as well.
That's right. I am Batman.
I didn't know how many movies he was in. Like, I thought he was famous because we talk about Top Gun all the time on the show and how much you love Top Gun, but I read the piece on the Variety yesterday about him after he passed away. He was in Tombstone. I didn't even realize he was Doc Holliday in Tombstone. Batman Heat as well. I know you like Heat.
You don't know a lot of things.
I disagree. I think I know a lot of things. But
you didn't know that potato skins weren't supposed to have the potato in them. You didn't know Doogie Howser.
But you can't say that if Flanagan's has.
You didn't know Val Kilmer was in anything besides Top Gun. Mm-hmm. You didn't know that the Inter-Miami game was on FS1 tonight. Mm-hmm. It's just like you don't know a lot of things.
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily get paid to know things.
What do you get paid for?
I don't know. Not to know things.
All right. Well, you're doing a fine job.
Yeah, but you also think you know things. Like, you thought Funky Buddha had wings made out of bison.
And you agreed with me.
I did. But I trust you because you typically know things.
I know things.
Yeah. Oh, who scored over there, Jimmy? Ipswich. Yeah, our Bournemouth.
Bournemouth is playing, yes.
Yeah. Well, they're down.
What channel is that on?
It is on Peacock.
I don't know if I have that app on this computer.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy in South Florida tonight. The lows are going to drop into the 70s. That is your weather.
Really never heard of Doogie Howser, huh?
No, I really hadn't. Really hadn't. Was that a big show?
Oh, my God, it was huge. Yeah. And you really never have a glass of milk with a peanut butter and jelly?
Nah, I won't. I won't retreat on that one. That is ridiculous. Having a glass of milk, to me, that's like a meal in itself, first of all. And if I'm going to have milk, I want to have it
is
with something.
Is your milk spoiled?
What's wrong with my milk? Why would it be spoiled?
Well, I don't know. Why would it be a meal unless it was chunky?
A meal? Like a glass
of
milk?
You said it's a meal in itself.
It is. A glass of milk is just like a meal almost. It like people.
That's why I asked if your milk was spoiled.
My
milk? Yeah, sounds like milk.
No, my milk was fine, Hawk. My milk was fine growing up. 2%, but it was fine. Not spoiled. If I was having milk, I want to split the milk with something. Cereal. Oreos. You can't split the milk with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's disgusting. I don't understand.
Split the milk? What are you talking about?
I want to be able to dunk.
Split the milk? It's a drink.
I want to be able to dunk something into the milk.
Dunk? Peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a glass of milk?
I don't. That's why I'm not drinking my peanut butter and jelly sandwich or eating my peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a glass of milk. That's why I'm not doing it.
You've never just had a glass of milk?
Not really.
You're weird, man. That's I'm not even kidding. That's why your teeth are bad. Because that's where the calcium comes from.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I mean, that's fact.
No, I don't think that's fact. I don't think
that
that's,
is fact.
I don't
you
think that's fact.
Drink milk for strong bones and teeth.
Yeah, but you were just like getting home, just drinking, chugging a glass of milk, tall glass
absolutely.
Of milk.
Absolutely, nah, absolutely.
That's disgusting.
Okay, well, enjoy your visits to the dentist every 3 months.
I eat cereal every day. I'd have milk. Love cereal. Every night, dip some Oreos into some milk for sure. But
one of your teeth are rotten. Cocoa Krispies and topping off the night with Oreos.
But just like drinking a glass of milk. I mean,
try brushing your teeth after you have the milk and Oreos.
It's not even natural, man. Like once you're off the milk as a baby. I mean, transition to better stuff, brother. I don't know why you're still drinking milk.
Okay, dentist guy. Split the milk.
Okay, milk guy.
Yeah. Milk is excellent for you.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true.
Okay, think about it. Next time they're digging through your gums every 3 months at the dental office.
Yeah, I just don't think that's true. I think that's a common misconception that we should all be drinking milk. We're the only species that drinks milk all the time. We're the only species after you grow, you know, you're off the milk from, how do you say it, from the nipple. Like, once you're off the milk from the nipple, we're the only species.
Breastfeeding.
That keeps drinking milk. Why do you think that, Hawk? That's not natural.
But that's not true.
Of course it is.
Are you suggesting, you're not saying Americans, you're saying humans?
Humans.
Are the only ones who drink milk?
After you're done breastfeeding, what do you think, a cow goes back and drinks milk?
But they don't drink anything but water. We're the only ones who drink juice.
And all you need is water. All you need is water.
What do you think animals are drinking?
You can get calcium from other from other things. You can get the proper nutrients from other things. You don't need to drink milk. It's disgusting. You don't need milk.
Okay, says the guy who has major teeth problems.
Yeah, but it's...
And a torn ACL and a torn labrum.
It's genetics.
Add it up, man.
Genetics.
guy thinks that animals are going out and choosing between a Coke, a milk, and a water. And they're going, oh, you know, I'm going to have the water today, alligator.
I've got hair.
You do have hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the lack of dairy. My follicles are just doing what they got to do.
No one knows what that means.
That's your weather, Hawk.
All right, very good. George Sedano is going to join us next. We'll talk some NBA with Jorge.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Meow.
Hawk and Crowder.
George Sedano is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. You see him all over the NBA broadcasts on ESPN and around the horn, and you hear him every day on ESPN Los Angeles, if you are so inclined. We were going to have him on yesterday, Crowder and I. We were celebrating my radio anniversary at WQAM, April 1st, April Fool's Day, very appropriately. And Sedano really was the most instrumental person in bringing me to QAM 11 years ago. So thank you, George. Honestly, I know we couldn't hook up yesterday, but thank you. You honestly changed my life for the better in a way that I never thought possible. So I tell you that every year, but I owe you a lot.
Well, you do, and you don't have to. You don't have to keep telling me. I listen. You were the guy that was top of mind, and thanks for having me on. And super pumped that it's been this long. It's crazy that it's been that long already. Is the thing
wild?
But yeah, I remember. Like I was there at QAM, and I was the afternoon drive host, and I was also the program director. And you know, for years I had been already flirting with ESPN, and then it was going to be a thing, like for real. And I remember telling Joe Bell, who was the GM at the time. He's like, what do you think we should do? And I said, go get Hockman. And that was it. That was literally the conversation. And then I called you and I told you and I said, this is the conversation you're probably going to have. So just be ready for it and, do what you think is best. And here you are still all these years later.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean, truly amazing. I talked with Joe Bell yesterday. I talk with him every April 1st. But yeah, Sedano really was. Sedano, for those who, excuse me, I'm still getting over an illness. For those who don't recall, was the program director and afternoon drive host, but really changed everything about 560. Like you infused an energy and youth to the 560 yeah. lineup, which hadn't had it in a long time. And yeah. when he decided to leave for Bristol, you were actually moving to Bristol. His word at QAM, Joe Bell, the general manager, like George's word was bond, man. Like whatever George said, because George had single-handedly almost revitalized that radio station. And so when George tells Joe Bell, go get Hockman, like that was it. Like that was, I mean, Joe didn't need to hear anything else because George, like you were batting 1,000 just about at QAM.
Yeah. I mean, we really changed the culture in a lot of ways. I know that word gets overused a lot in sports, but it was a time at QAM where they were in a, you know, an era of transition, right? Hank was no longer there, you know, may he rest in peace, as well as Jim Mandich, Neil Rogers, like all those guys were long gone at that point. And they were trying to fill the gaps with different people. And, you know, Sid Rosenberg was there for a decent amount of time. You know, Dan Cilio was there for a little bit. There were a lot of different guys. And, yeah, I mean, I remember, and, you know, Steve Goldstein was there, right? So, really, Joe was the last, and he's still there, right? So, Joe was the last guy from that era that was there. And, you know, we came in, and you know, you and I had worked together at 790. And, you know, look, I'm not, you know, Joe Groh is the king of morning radio in South Florida. But you remember, like, he and I were going back and forth because the timing yep. of it was LeBron was such a big deal and the Heat were such a big yep. deal that it really shifted the way people listened to sports radio in a way that I think changed the landscape forever. I mean, that's as big a part of it as anything, is that the fact that I was doing morning radio during LeBron's era and that Big Three era really kind of changed things for us at 790 in a big way, I thought, in the morning. And then, you know, I had a falling out with the guy that took over for Dennis Collins at the Ticket. And a few months later, I ended up at QAM. It was kind of like a wrestling thing where like I ended up like I left one wrestling production and ended up on the other one shortly afterwards.
That was great. It was such a great tumultuous time. That was back, you know, I happen to love radio wars and radio stories. And that's when you had two competitors, you know, 790, the Ticket doesn't even exist anymore. It's
right. Yeah. Isn't it like a
Radio
Spanish
Libre.
Like political station?
Yeah. Radio Libre.
Long story short, right. Adam Cooperstein was there. Crowder was there. It was Crowder. Cooper and Crowder was the show the midday back then. And, you know, obviously we had a staple in Joe, who was the anchor of the station and you know, continues to be in I'm sure, in very many ways. You know, and we had things kind of rolling for sure. And it was fun. So, right, when I was leaving, like, and by the way, behind the scenes, too, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't just that. Like, we empowered people like Victor Bermudez. You know, Andy King was there with us. You know, there was a lot of people behind the scenes that helped. But, it was a no-brainer. When he asked me. So I just said to him, yeah, it's Hawk. Like, if you can get him to do it, do it.
Well, thank you again. And for those of you who have hate listened for the last 11 years, now going into the 12th
blame
year,
me.
This is the guy. This is the guy to blame. It was all Sedano's fault. Nobody thought it was going to last this long. No one, including George or me. All right, let's talk a little basketball with you because there is a lot going on. First of all, the Heat, real quick, because they're back in action tonight. They lose 10 in a row. Then they win 5 in a row. They're going to be a play-in team. Is there any leap you can make where you say, you know what? The Heat always have a little bit of magic up their sleeve come postseason time. You don't want to face this Heat team. Or are there just too many deficiencies this time?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter than the former. I still think they're feisty. Like, they'll win a game or two. They're not going to get embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? Because Spo will never let that happen, but they're not good enough to go up against Cleveland, who would be the team they would have to face. I think there would be, you know, they'd be in a much better position to win a game or two against Cleveland as opposed to Boston in the playoffs. Cause we saw how that worked last year. Like, they got the one and then the other ones weren't even competitive. Like, I think with Cleveland, they could be more competitive, but they're not winning that series barring some major injury, luck in their favor and against Cleveland in that scenario. So I'm torn on the way they should go moving forward. You know, I think part of me thinks they should go with a youth movement and try to figure this thing out. And then I also watch them at times and I say, man, but if they just had one more guy, like one legit superstar to plug in that could just finish games for them, because that's where their biggest deficiency is they are terrible down the stretch of games. So they've blown so many double-digit leads. I want to say it's like 10, 12, maybe even 15 games. They've blown double-digit fourth-quarter leads, and I know those evaporate a lot faster than they used to because of the three-point ball game that most teams are playing, or pretty much every team is playing now. But, man, like, I just feel like, if you plug in a Kevin Durant, is it enough to make them a contender in the East? And part of me thinks maybe. But then the other part of me is like, the last time they did a youth movement, it worked out pretty well because they developed guys and then traded them to get Shaq. You know what I mean? And then they won a championship with Dwayne and Shaq. So I don't know for sure which way they should go. But, man, I feel like this team, fans should look at this particular team and look at some of these guys that they've got and understand that I do think a decent amount of them will be part of what the solution will be.
But, George, when you talk about going out and finding the superstar, finding the whale, even if it is Kevin Durant this offseason, does that require keeping Tyler, Bam, and Andrew Wiggins? Because what can that trio be, and how can you land the aforementioned whale if you're not getting rid of at least one of them? And we kind of
Of course. If you go that route, Solana, you got to get rid of somebody. Like, maybe for Durant, like, I feel like Phoenix wants picks and then salary to match. Wiggins is probably going to be in that deal anyway because he's making $30 million. You know what I mean? But, yeah, like, I am genuinely curious. Like, I wouldn't trade Tyler Hero for Kevin Durant at 37 years old. Like, I would not do that. But I would give them Wiggins and salary filler and, you know, the picks that they would want. You know, what is Ja Morant's availability going to be? Now, in that scenario, you'd have to trade Tyler Hero. There's no question about that, and I would do it. No offense to Tyler, as good as he's been, an all-star this year, but I would do that in a heartbeat. So I just think it's who are we talking about, right? Who is that person? And by the way, Ja would fit in that timeline of Bam and some of these younger guys. I think that that would make some sense, but I just don't know if the Heat would have the best package, because that's what it comes down to. It's like, what do these teams want, and what can they do? Can they get themselves in the game to get someone like that?
Walk through this hypothetical with me then. I've had this conversation with Crowder, but I've had this conversation running for 5 or 6 years now, because I believe Zion Williamson is still a generational talent who could be a league MVP one day in the right situation. Would you take a flyer? If you're the Heat, you've got to give up some sort of asset somewhere next season and for future seasons, because you're going to get one of the two. Would you take a flyer on getting KD, or would you take a flyer on getting Zion?
Man, that's tough. Because I do think that while Durant at 37, you're talking about an incredibly short window, I still think he's so good offensively. And even defensively, he's still really good. I would probably still lean towards Durant, but I don't think it's like a slam dunk that I would say that I wouldn't at least entertain the Zion stuff. I personally believe that Zion, if he were to become available, it will not be under this particular front office regime in New Orleans. I think that they are tied to him in a lot of ways, and I don't see them getting off of him, but I also don't know if that front office is going to exist in its current iteration for much longer moving forward. It could be the end of it. And I like David Griffin. I think he's had a lot of terrible luck there. I mean, if you look at it, everybody gets hurt there. It's just not his fault. It's almost like this weird voodoo thing going on there in New Orleans, of all places. So, yeah, I would lean towards Durant, just because I know you can still squeeze out another good year or two out of him potentially. But it would not be something – it would be something I would certainly like – really stress over, because I'm with you. I think that somebody's going to get Zion cheap in regards to what they have to give up, and I think that they're going to be better for it.
Right. If he's in the right situation, I know it's the whole, nebulous Heat culture and Heat DNA, but I just feel like if he's in the right situation, maybe he's got the right, parameters in place that would keep him in shape and motivated. And man, when he's out there and in shape and motivated, he's an unstoppable force.
Well, I'll tell you this, Hawk, he was in shape this year. It's just the injuries. Yeah. And, Tom Haberstroh said this many years ago, my old colleague at ESPN, the biggest predictor of future injury is past injury. And that we may be at the point of no return with him. I don't think so, because I think he's still so young. But there's very few examples of guys who have been hurt as much as him getting out there and then all of a sudden turning their careers around from an injury perspective. By the way, we mentioned Ja Morant, or I mentioned Ja Morant a second ago. Ja's missed a ton of games too. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a risk with almost anyone you take, whether that's age in Durant's case or injury in some of these younger guys' cases.
Hey, it's been like, it's over a decade since you've done Afternoon Drive here in Miami, and you've done obviously national stuff, and you're at ESPN LA. What's the LA market like compared to the Miami market when it comes to sports radio? Because I feel like there's got to be a lot of similarities too.
So here are the similarities. Very similar market in the sense, obviously the size is, and the scale is much bigger. But like the similarities are, half Hispanic, right? I mean, I think that is where the first thing, there's no question that immediately sticks out, right? While different, right? Mexican, Cuban cultures are different. There's some Venn diagram there, I would say, in a big way. So that's what I think allowed me to kind of gain some success there quickly. But from a sports perspective, you never run out of stuff to talk about. Whereas I feel like in South Florida, you can, because you've got two of every team. And you could literally talk Lakers and Dodgers every single day of the year. Like, there is not even a discussion on a daily basis that we don't have at least one of those, if not both, in some capacity on a daily basis. And then you've got all the NFL stuff. You've got two NFL teams, although the Rams really matter more. But the Raiders are still have a huge fan base there, and they're not only in Vegas, so it's a quick, you know, four-hour drive. So you've got that, tons of NFL you could talk about. And then when USC is rolling, you can make the argument they're the third biggest – football, that is. They're the third biggest, you know, fish in the pond, you know, because that thing has so much history. You know, and just like you never run out of stuff to talk about. And then I would say the biggest difference is I randomly can just text O'Shea Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's son, who's now a famous actor, and be like, hey, why don't you pop through the studio today? Which, no offense, you can't always necessarily do that in Miami. Not that there aren't famous people in Miami, but it's a little easier to get the famous people to come to you.
Right. Maybe you can get a Gino Toretta to come on out to Twin Peaks, but that's
right. Exactly. Right. Like I can get Freddie Prinze Jr. on the line, you know, and you'd be like, hey, Freddie, why don't you swing through, talk some Dodgers today? You know,
can you do the nonsense, though, that we do? Like, we spent plenty of time today talking about peanut butter and jelly day and what's the proper drink with the peanut butter and jelly. Like, can you do that, or does that turn off the sports audience?
No, we do it. Yeah, I would say our show is 50-50 most days, and sometimes we probably skew way, like, not enough sports for my liking, but I just let it kind of go where it goes and try to wrangle it back in. But, yeah, like, I mean, Bryan Cranston, we do an award show at the station every year. I made this up on the air. I said, you know, this is Hollywood. We should be doing our own award show. It's award season, right? So we kind of started creating this thing, and I know you were, you know, instrumental many years ago in Levitard's Suey Awards, right? Like, I thought it was just going to be a thing on the air. This turned into a real award show where fans paid $50 to come watch us give ourselves awards at these venues. And Bryan Cranston does the intros for every single award and all the nominees. Like, that's as L.A. as it gets.
That's excellent, man. Who owns you guys, ESPN L.A.? Is that is that Good Karma?
So, it's a partnership between ESPN, the mothership, and Good Karma brand,
Oh, very cool. All right. I could chop it up about radio all day long with Sedano. But again, he was going to join us yesterday for the anniversary show. He joined us today, and we got some good NBA talk. And we got to talk to you throughout the postseason because it's going
to
be.
Hey, let me ask you this. Is Crowder going to have to put on some weight and play D tackle for the Dolphins because they got like no defensive linemen? Like, what's going on
yesterday? Solana asked him yesterday if he's ready to go. I mean, if Calais is going to get $5-7 million, he's almost Crowder's age. So Crowder, maybe for $5-6 million, suit up again.
I mean, it would be a great bit for the radio, right? Like, if Doug Gottlieb can coach a college basketball team and host the radio show on national radio, why can't Crowder host Afternoon Drive with you and play for the Dolphins?
That would be absolutely delightful. And based on the way the Dolphins have played recently, you'd probably get a Doug Gottlieb-like performance by the end of the season. Low-hanging fruit. Too easy. All right, George Sedano, we miss you in Miami. We'll talk to you during the NBA postseason. It's been too long, buddy.
Have a croqueta for me.
Oh, I mean, you know Solana will. Man loves his croquetas. George Sedano, ESPN LA, and the man responsible for bringing me here an Afternoon Drive on 560 QAM 11 years ago yesterday.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Kendall wasn't built in one day, Hawk.
Hawk and Crowder.